As the voice of Chicago innovation, each week we look for innovators that have set out to reshape entire industries. Delivering some much-needed tea are the founders, in this case the founder, as the other founder wasn't able to make it, of Tiesta Tea, Patrick Chanousse, with us with a new spin on loose tea. These guys are on a tear right now in the amazing Chicago tea brand. I'm Scott Catoon, and it's time to start talking about tomorrow's business today. What's Tiesta Tea?
Tiesta Tea is a loose-leaf tea company. We're on a mission to make loose-leaf tea understandable, accessible, and affordable. We do this by creating a very simple and accessible brand and partnering with grocery stores across the country to make it as accessible as your milk and eggs.
I think it's an amazing idea. I actually really want to get into tea. And, you know, throughout my whole life, like whether it's, you know, trying to stay in shape or trying to get back in shape or trying to, like, get better sleep or trying to get caffeinated, all these different things. Every single person who drinks tea thinks they're a pro. And every single person who drinks tea thinks they're better than you, not you guys. And they always tell you, like, no, it's this tea, it's chai, it's ginger, it's like, dude, I don't care, just give me the tea.
Oh, man, you hit on exactly why we do what we do.
I know, I went to your website, and I was like, oh, my God, don't want caffeine, need to sleep. This is your tea, purple. Do want caffeine, this is your tea, red. I want to feel this way. I want to lose weight. Yellow. I want this. Green. It's obvious. I love it. Yeah. You guys are killing it.
So basically what happened is Dan and I weren't tea drinkers at the time, but like yourself, we wanted to become a little healthier.
Yeah.
So when we were studying abroad, we were preschool best friends. We both studied abroad in Europe, and we found ourselves in a traditional Czech tea house.
Yeah.
When we found this loose leaf tea, we loved it. We bought some. We brought it back. And the only thing people would ask us when we'd share it with them is, what's this going to do for me? And what's it going to taste like? Unfortunately, the common consumer didn't care if it was a Darjeeling or a Sencha or a Gayakuru.
I don't know what any of these things are.
It could be grown in the Dongguan region of China, but people just don't understand what that does.
Yeah.
So we created a brand that makes it understandable through function and flavor. So every tea we get, Thin Mint Trim, Slenderizer. It's Thin Mint Trim.
I'll take about six of those.
These are great. After lunch, down one of these, you won't be munching.
That's perfect.
You know, something like this. This is a Pomegranatopia Eternity. Eternity for antioxidants, Pomegranatopia is the flavor. So it's really just like yourself, people want to become healthier, and tea is a great way to do that. But if you don't know what you're drinking and what it's going to taste like, you're not going to want to drink
it. I'm not going to take a flyer on random tea. You know, this looks like a bag of weeds. Like, that's not...
Dude, I did it. I did it when I was 21 years old. I told my mom, after I studied abroad, I didn't know where to go to get tea, and I finally got hooked on tea when I was in Europe. And so I took my mom to a store in the mall that sells a lot of loose leaf tea. I'm not going to say any names. And
crush them, dude. Say the name. Crush them. No. Whatever. Do it if you want.
Well, we went to Tivana, and my mom
whispers it. I went to Tivana. It's on record, man. Everyone hears
whatever.
It. Doesn't matter.
So we went to Tivana, and my mom took me there, and all I wanted was some tea that tasted good that could energize me. Right. Yeah. That's it. Very simple. Tea that tastes good with energy. There's tons of that out there. Well, they just told me all this stuff. I ended up buying a ton of tea that I had no idea what it tastes like. I spent $100, and my mom basically said, "That's it, son, you're done. No more tea for you." I said, "Oh man, that's just brutal." And I went home with $100 of tea that was nothing that I wanted.
No soup for you.
No soup for me, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I'm glad to sit here and talk about tea, and you're going to show us some things here. But really, the reason I brought you in here, I like to highlight things that I think are innovative. And a lot of times, I've said this on the show probably 50 times, this might as well be the new trademark, that invention is not innovation, that they're not mutually exclusive. Sometimes invention is a part of innovation. You have a little bit of both going on here. You've got some invention going on here. But what you really did is it's a rebranding and a information-based marketing, if you will.
Yes.
You've created a new way for people to consume tea with your invention, which you'll be showing. But you've also created a way for people to search for the tea that they want in a packaging style that makes me actually understand and decode what all this thing is about. And that's the part that, to me, was like, wow, I've never, you know, whether it's, I like coffee, I look at a lot of different kind of coffee things. Obviously, I like a lot of booze things, so I look at like all kinds of different types of drinks.
We could have a couple of drinks together in that
case. Next show
coffee,
coming on here,
tea,
Boston Booze, we got coffee.
We'll do it
all. We're not going to sleep for days. But the bottom line is, I've never seen a company successfully package their product of any sort, any variety, with ingredients or with its end, you know, the end result of the ingredient. I've never seen it until I went to your website and I was like, maybe tea is the only one you can do it with. I don't know. But it just was like, holy cow, I can't believe it. They just, you nailed it. So one of the things I really want to highlight is you can make some tea here now. I mean, you got this little machine here.
Yeah,
show
so
us how this works.
This is actually what we believe is the future of tea brewing. I wish I invented this. This is an invention made in Taiwan, but we do manufacture and distribute
here in
the U.S.
Claim it for yourself. It's fine.
But basically what you do is you just take your hot water, put your tea leaves. Yeah, you know, so you put your tea leaves. This is Pomegranatopia. It's a white tea made with apple, raspberry, strawberry, safflowers, calendula, and rose. Lots of stuff going on there. You pop it in your tea.
And brew. What does this one make you feel like? What's
this?
This
is Eternity. So Eternity. White tea is very high in antioxidants, okay. So it fights free radicals in your body, which cause harmful things inside of you.
So I'm going to live longer.
Yeah, so that's the essentially. Hope. So you put your tea leaves in, put your water on top, pretend this sits for 2 minutes, three minutes. Once you're done, you just sit it over your cup. Boom. And as you can see, this button right here just triggers a gravity release mechanism, and you get your tea into the cup.
That's
awesome. It's very simple, easy to clean. You know, one of the barriers of entry to loose leaf tea is the easy way to brew it.
Yep.
And with all the stuff out there, this is the easiest way to do it. And not only is it easy, it's cool.
It is very.
And it's viral.
You know, it's funny. Like, that actually reminds me. So, like, with I like coffee. I actually don't really care about different kinds of coffee as much as just straight black coffee. Just get that. Mainline it, man. I got a long day. But if you can't tell, I talk fast. I'm a very impatient person. I don't have time, nor do I have the patience to watch like coffee brew. It irritates me. So I went out and spent more money than I really should have ever thought of spending on a coffee machine that I can literally fill the water in the little tube and hit go. And by the time I come out of the shower, I've got a whole cup of coffee and it's a perfect temperature and grab it and go. That is why I don't do tea, because I've got to sit there and boil the water, and then I got to sit there and soak it, and drip a little bag
soak
in there.
Steep. Come on,
sorry,
Scott.
Steep. You know what? I'm a very cultured individual.
Hey, you're
going to
be a tea expert after this.
That's the key. But watching this now, it's like, oh, you know what? I can do tea. That's something I can't handle much. I think I can handle that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I wasn't a tea drinker when I got into tea. I was fortunate to stumble upon it in Europe, and this is really, I use this 4, 5, 6 times a day. It's the only way I make tea. And the beauty of this compared to a bag tea is when you steep it, you're letting the flavors in the leaves really unfurl.
Yeah.
Right? Because the tea is rolled up almost like a stick.
Yep.
And then once the hot water hits, it unfurls, and that's what releases its antioxidants.
Well, and that's the whole thing, I think, also, is like, it baffles me. Like, we're actually at a Tribune Tower now, which Ergo Tea is just downstairs, and they've got a whole bunch of different teas and things. But when I see the dried leaf and bag type system, it's like, how effective can that really be, at least in my mind? Like, maybe it's just subconsciously, but I like to know, like, I like the water drinks now that you can have the actual fruit in it.
Yep.
I love to know that it's a leaf that I just, like, it's not been dried and sitting there for 45, you know, years, and it's, like, dust covered.
Right.
I'd like to know that it's, like, I can identify what's in my beverage or food.
Yep.
And that's what this does very well. So you guys are, I mean, obviously killing. This is the coolest thing. I'm now probably officially going to be a tea drinker. I'm going to be placing some orders. You'll see them coming in soon.
That's great.
How long have you guys been doing this, and where do people go to find your tea stores and online and all that sort of deal?
Sure. So we started in 2010 at the University of Illinois. We were very fortunate to get some help from the University of Illinois. We won a business plan competition,
nice.
And we were able to get $30,000 from
good
that.
Good start.
And then we had even more fortunate, Jimmy John Leotode, founder of Jimmy John's Gourmet Sub Sandwiches. He helped us with our branding and our packaging and all that stuff to really get us figure out our mission.
It looks, you know what, now that you say that, it totally makes sense, because if you think about the simplicity of Jimmy John's, the way it looks,
I never
looked at it until just now. I'm looking at your which one was that, the green one?
Yeah, Jimmy's all about simplicity.
It's
and
perfect.
And he's such a good dude. He really shot us down that path of simplicity.
Yep.
And focus. So we started in 2010. Today we're in about 7,000 stores nationwide.
Wow.
You can buy it at Jewel, Target, Mariano's here locally. Across the country, Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, they're all over.
Everywhere.
Pretty much. Our goal is to put it in every grocery store, right? If you go to a grocery store, you should be able to get loose leaf tea. Just like you can get high quality coffee at the grocery store, you should be able to get high quality tea. And the difference, not just high quality, but understandable.
Yeah.
And not too expensive. You don't need to pay $10 for an ounce of tea or 2 ounces of tea.
Or $100.
Or $100 in my case when I was 21.
I think you got jobbed, bro.
Dude, I did. But thankfully, it put
it
me
worked.
In this
you
direction.
You got on the right path. Well,
yeah.
I can tell you, if I'm walking down the aisle and I say this to people and it's like, you know, whatever, you got the guy in the show. I seriously mean this, and there's a reason I wanted to have you on. If I'm walking down an aisle of tea, this is the package I grab every time. It would
it's
be absolutely, it's that is a very attractive packaging, and it tells me everything that I have no clue what, like the flowers and like the goofy words with the stupid cursive that I can barely read. I don't have these marketers know. Cursive doesn't get taught anymore, so I don't know why they're using it. Anyway, you guys have the right font, the right color, and you tell people what it is. and it looks great. Awesome product.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
You guys are doing great. So where do people go to be able to order this? How do they follow you?
So tstt.com. We have 45 different flavors on our website, lots of different brewing accessories, mugs, cups, whatever. Jewel, Target, Mariano's here locally. And those, you know, if you follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, one of the coolest things we're doing next year is called Spread the Warmth Campaign. We did it this year on January 22nd. We gathered up all our friends, family, network, and brewed up 500 cups of hot tea. Being based here in Chicago, there's just a lot of cold people and a lot of people who are a little less fortunate. So sure. Jewel Osco donated sandwiches. The Westin donated emergency kits. And we took our whole team and we went out to Chicago and passed out tea. Check out our Facebook page and see this campaign. We're going to be launching a sign-up sheet for next year very soon. So help us spread the warmth around Chicago. You know, we want to make this a national day in Chicago where, you know, every day, instead of National Tea Day or National Coffee Day, National Spread the Warmth Day.
Absolutely.
So follow our journey on making that happen. You know, we're trying to do big things. It's not just tea. There's a lot more to it.
Hopefully I can help you with that journey. I've got a couple of people actually who are working on some really incredible initiatives with the homeless that I would love to introduce you to so that maybe you can spread a little bit more warmth that's in New York City and here in Chicago. So
that'd be awesome.
Very cool. And we also will be having some events, and I would love to get TSST to do some tea stuff for our events.
Absolutely.
As well as the liquor guys who are in the other room. We'll be talking to them as well. Thank you so much for coming here and delivering some tea, showing us how it works. I am excited for people to try TSST. I guess that's it. That's what we got for the show. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, Scott.
You can watch this episode and more on Advisor TV, stream us on WGN Plus and River Radio apps, or download each episode on iTunes. And remember to stay connected by following us on Twitter at TBT on WGN. Boom, that's a wrap.
Hi, I'm Don Bora with this week's Extended Bite. With me, as always, is Brett Mackey from Rapid Studios. And also with us, as always, is Anne Marie.
Yay!
I know, right?
It's the first
right?
time you got her
no,
name right.
No, no, it's no. No, it's not. No, it's not. My mom listens to this, man. Don't just... God, man, we talked about it all weekend. It's
that's a trip. Yeah. We'll have more on the show.
All right, so we don't have a lot of time, and I just wanted to, Anne-Marie, I want to get your expertise in on this. So I was reading an article on the way in this morning about venture funding in Pittsburgh, and okay. it's not a big city to venture fund in, and it was the founders of Duolingo getting pressured to move to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they're like, no, we're going to stay
Epidemic.
Here because the values of this city resonate with what we want to do and mm-hmm. what kind of business we want to be. So I thought, it listed San Francisco as the most funded city and Boston is number two. And I'm like, well, where does Chicago fall? So I looked it up and we're number six.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? So you're a VC, and I just mm-hmm. kind of like want to get your take. I know there's money in the city. We're a big banking town. Mm-hmm. I'm clueless.
Well, we also are financial based, right? So I don't think that everyone's focus was necessarily on VC. I think now it is that the traders are getting involved and the Board of Trade CME closed down, so on and so forth. But to address San Francisco, if you look at the ecosystem, and I'm not really supposed to say this because I'm supposed to be like friendly with the West Coast, but
no, let's do it. I ripped on them last night.
There's a lot of FOMO out there, you know. They'll invest in 10 companies that are all the same, and then just like kind of like a racetrack and see.
Yeah, and that's kind of typical, right? I mean,
where you're in Chicago, there's actually a little bit more emotion behind the investment from the sweat equity that we had. Worked towards to be able to invest.
So you're saying there's more authenticity to the investment dollars here. Yeah, she wants to say it.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's more authenticity.
Well, I mean, it's a factor of 10.
I mean, the way that I invest, I'm not even invested in the company that was just on Tiz. I'm not even invested in them.
Right.
But I love what they're doing. I love them. They're great. I met them, a while ago. Just awesome people. What can I do for you guys?
Yeah.
Tell me how
I
can help.
Like, well, I guess there's human capital investment that's not
absolutely.
Trapped.
Absolutely. I think that there's emotional, intelligence as well that comes with a lot of the investments here. And they're at a different stage. You're, like I said before when I was on Tasty Trade, you're you have different families with little babies that need to grow, i.e., the startup.
Right. Well, I'm also wondering, as I was talking to some of the startups that were on the show earlier, and I was talking, they're self-funded, they're bootstrapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering, how much of that goes on in Chicago versus San Francisco and Boston and New York and Seattle, who also beats us?
Well, I think that we appreciate hard work. I mean, we're a union-based city.
Mm-hmm.
So working your butt off to, I almost said ass again. Well, I just did.
Oh,
so.
Gosh.
Oh
way
my
to
God,
check yourself.
What is my problem? At least I didn't say the other word that I almost said when Peyton was on, which is not okay. We're a union-based, you know, so we appreciate the sweat equity. We appreciate people that are going to work hard. And, mm-hmm. you know, when someone comes to me and they say, well, I've been bootstrapped for 2 years and I'm ready to raise, that's awesome,
that's huge.
Dude. Like,
yeah.
let's talk about this. Yeah. As opposed to just putting your hand out and saying, I have this really great idea. Mm-hmm. How are you, you know, help me. I need this. I mean, I had a specific person just assume that I was going to give them money without even having a conversation and embarrass me in a meeting. And I just looked at this individual and was just like, I'm never going to invest in you because you don't even know what your business plan is.
Well, that's also a Sosnov thing, right, too. Like, Tom's very much into, he doesn't want...
Oh, yeah, right. Sorry, I didn't, yeah. No, he doesn't even like hands-on investors, so we had a conversation about that as well. Too many cooks in the kitchen, he says. Yeah.
Yeah, I've started a sixth company. We only took funding one time, and it wasn't my call to do it, mm-hmm. so...
And I think that you need to be very intelligent and very focused and do your due diligence just as much as the startup is doing their due diligence,
mm-hmm.
Because you're stuck with them.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many toxic investors that didn't get their way and fought and kicked their feet and almost sabotaged, you know, certain companies just because they didn't get their way for like $25,000. And so we always joke around and say, like, for $25,000, I own your soul. And we're going to like put it in code on a shirt and like all the other people will know what it says.
And that's why I never take funding.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, people just take it. You have to be sensitive to the venture capitalist because you know that you're using, a lot of times they have LPs, and so you're utilizing other people's money, and maybe sometimes they weren't able to come home at night because they were working so hard. So there has to be some sort of respect, but then you also have to understand that this is their company. You're not the CEO. You're an investor.
Yeah.
This is their idea, and the best thing that you can do is utilize your resources the best way that you possibly can for that company.
Stay out of the way and don't wreck it.
Right. Do you have a starting point for filtering your candidates for investment? Like, is there any key ingredients you look for right out of the gate, or there's like one thing you look for right out of the gate?
The individual. I happen to be extremely intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I can read a person very quickly, has benefited me throughout my career. But it's like I said, you know, and everyone knows the equation. It's 85% the individual. And so, you know, have you failed? Like, what have you done before? Have you ever started a company? You know, so on and so forth. Qualifying questions about the individual because, and if you're passionate about what you're doing, then when it really sucks, you're still going to get up in the morning and you're still going to work. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not big on quitting. I'm not a quitter.
Yeah.
When I quit, it actually pains me. And, you know, you can pivot, and I'm all about pivoting, but quitting on yourself, I don't have respect
quote the other
for
day?
That.
I suppose it's some quote on Facebook. It was failing is temporary, quitting is permanent.
Oh, wow. Right?
Oh, yeah. I actually commented on that. Yeah, Scott put that, and I said, so is sitting in a dead end.
Nice. Nice. Well, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
That.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I didn't know I was getting interviewed.
That was great.
You did a good job.
It was awesome.
Oh,
you know? Awesome.
Oh, finally a compliment.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Did a really great job.
All right. Well, thanks a lot. This is your Extended Bite from 8-Bit Studios. I'm Don.
Oh, yeah, and I'm Brett.
There we go.
And Marie, and we don't sound the same like the last show, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's it.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thanks, everybody.
Awesome.